Everybody and welcome. Let's get started with some singing. Please open your gray hardback hymnals to number 297. It's called The Star of Truth, and it's one of my very favorite hymns, but it's a little bit lesser known, so the choir is going to sing the first verse, and please join us on verses 2 through 4. That's number 297, The Star of Truth. Touch the earth, reach the sky. Number 301.
Thank you. Good morning. Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Church of Fort Myers, where our mission is to love, grow, and serve. My name is Elise Sexton, and I am so happy to be your worship associate on this wonderful Sunday. I've been attending this church for 5 years this year, and I'm always thrilled at the opportunity to speak in front of the congregation. If you're new here today, or still feel new to Unitarian Universalism, I would like to extend a special welcome and thank you for joining us today. Everyone will find a connection card in the pew in front of you that looks like this. I invite you to fill out this connection card so we can get connected or reconnected with you. If you've had an email change, moved recently, gotten a new phone number, or just have a comment about the service, please fill out the card and drop it in the offertory as it comes around. You'll also find in the pew in front of you the Children's Religious Education Guest Registration Slip. If you have a child that's eligible for RE, please fill this out and also drop it in the offertory as it comes around. Lastly, you'll find the UUCFM Caring Network card in the pew in front of you. The Caring Network is here if you or someone you know is in need of a little bit of extra love and support. Lastly, I'd like to invite everyone to join us for coffee hour after service for fellowship and conversation in Hobart Hall. Just go out these main doors and to the right. During coffee hour, if you're new, please use the bright yellow mugs you'll find in the coffee station. One, they're way bigger, so you get way more coffee. And two, it lets everyone else know that you're visiting and make sure we can all give you an extra warm welcome. Our chalice lighters today are Dawn Oliver and Liam St. John. The St. Johns are former members here who have very recently returned to the area after 5 years in New York. In that time, Dawn has completed her master's in social work and is now excitedly seeking her first job in the field. She lets her artistic flag fly by singing, writing, drawing, and painting. Oliver is a creative technologist who can rarely be found without a musical instrument. He's excited about recreating the Unitarian Universalist Ukulele Union that he started in Ithaca here at UUCFM. Liam is 8 years old and has just started fourth grade at San Carlos Park Elementary, where he loves math, art, and recess. Outside of school, he likes Transformers, Pokemon, going to the pool, and playing catch. All of the three St. Johns are extremely excited to be back in Fort Myers and recommitting with this lovely community. Please rise in body or spirit as we sing the words of our covenant.
Love is the spirit of this church, and service is law. This is our great covenant, to dwell together in peace, to seek the truth in love, and to
as we join together in singing number 1064, Blue Boat Home.
Thank you.
Let us be at peace with our bodies and our minds. Let us return to ourselves and become wholly ourselves.
Let us be aware of the source of being, common to us all and to all living things.
Evoking the presence of a great compassion, let us fill our hearts with our own compassion toward ourselves and toward all living beings.
Let us pray that we ourselves cease to be the cause of suffering to each other.
With humility, with awareness of the existence of life and of the sufferings that are going on around us, let us practice the establishment of peace in our hearts and on earth. Amen.
Amen.
Just kidding, hi. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Okay, so I am Jen Blosser. I am the Director of Religious Education here at UUCFM. And this morning's Time for All Ages isn't gonna necessarily be as much fun as a story, but it's gonna be pretty darn special because today is our first official teaching day for our RE program.
Ooh!
And so what I would like to do is I would like to introduce you to our fabulous volunteers and our amazing kids if they are willing to come up. So, first, I would like to invite Stephanie Hoffman. And Harvey Heckes isn't with us, but Stephanie and Harvey will be leading our pre-K through second grade class, which is Chalice Children. Yay! So anybody who is pre-K to second grade, would you like to come up here and stand with Miss Stephanie if you want to? If you're willing, it's cool. So these are some of our awesome, awesome kids in Stephanie and Harvey's class, our Chalice Children. Yay! Okay, our next lovely pairing of teachers is for our third grade through fifth grade class. It is the fabulous Julie Ireland and Matt Halstead. And they will be teaching a program called Holidays and Holy Days. So their class sounds like a lot of fun, and if you don't see me here, it's because I've sat in on their celebrations. So if any of you are between third grade and fifth grade, would you like to come up as well? These are our students for Holidays and Holy Days. Some of them. Lovely. Thank you very much, guys. And finally, our eldest group of RE is our middle school / junior high, whichever you prefer to call that school. Level class, and this is the youth-led religious education group. They have the most challenged teachers. Rachel Spiller and Emily Hutchinson are the teachers for this class. What up, Emily? Rachel's not here today, so these poor kids are going to have to suffer with me helping out in their class today. Womp womp. But if you are in our middle school group and you would like to come up and receive a round of applause, come on down. Uh-huh. Oh, thank you, boys. That's right. Yes. Awesome. Thank you very much. All right, and finally, I have two very, very special youth to introduce to you. Thank you, guys. Although, Nick, you can stay, because you're one of them. Nick and Ellie, ladies and gentlemen, are our first youth to participate in the revived Coming of Age program, the Challenge of Affirmation program. So massive round of applause for these two guinea pigs who are going to be embarking on a lot of interesting stuff this year as they work towards a really exciting worship service in May, where they will be affirming to you what they have found, they believe and identify with and are still questioning. So this is going to be deep. Brace yourself for that, okay? It's going to be good. So today, after classes, if you are a parental unit, please make sure to come to the classroom to collect your offspring, all right? Thank you very much, and now we're going to sing the kids out to service.
Once upon a time, there were two roosters who lived together with many hens in a farmhouse. Now, the roosters both strongly disliked each other, as they both wanted to rule the farmhouse and have all the hens to themselves. One day, they took to fighting in the yard of the farm, and the larger rooster with big red feathers won. As the losing rooster went and sulked in the corner of the yard, the winning rooster pranced around the farm, declaring his victory. The rooster was so proud of what he'd done that he flew to the very, very top of the big barn and crowed as loudly as he could. He spread his glorious wings and proclaimed to all the animals that he was the best rooster. Now, he was so busy spreading his glory to the masses that he didn't notice the great eagle circling overhead. And that great eagle swooped down, and while the rooster was distracted, snatched him up in his big talons and flew away. The first thing that comes to mind after hearing such a wonderful Aesop's fable is, of course, that over-excessive pride is damaging, as the rooster learned the hard way. I can easily think of times when I've boasted too much or talked a little bit too loudly about a certain thing and immediately ended up with my foot in my mouth. But I also can think of people in general, how we have a tendency to do things without really thinking of the consequences and being really, really proud of our actions. It's a really good representation, actually, of how we as humans treat our environment. We do these incredible things with science, make these awesome breakthroughs, and as soon as something like that happens, we milk this new information for all that it's worth. We get as much done as we physically can with what we've just discovered. And while we're busy proving how genius our species is, we end up ruining a really valuable part of our Earth. The best example is global climate change. There are people who still deny that climate change exists and say, oh, no, the liberals made it up. It's not real, it can't be. But to them, I'd say, look around. In 2012, the most destructive hurricane of all time, Superstorm Sandy, tore through New York. It left the city absolutely destructed and in shambles. The U.S. has been experiencing record high temperatures in the summers, reaching into the triple digits. And on the other end of the spectrum, excessively long, brutal winters, some of which last all the way to April or May. Just yesterday, there were reports of extreme flash floods in the Midwest, up to 6-7 inches of rain. And they still think that nothing's going on? We've spent our time on the barn bragging. Our species has had its time in the spotlight. We've spread our big wings and declared how genius we are. But the eagle is finally coming down. And now it's up to us to find a way to escape the talons of Mother Nature and try and fix what we can.
And so might we be entering into this monthly theme of humility, invited into coming back into touch with reality, awakening to reality. And so I invite you into the spirit of prayer or meditation. And also invite you at this time to hold in your hearts the joys and the sorrows of those in this community. Sending our love to Susan Forsyth and her wife, Alice. Susan broke her leg early this week, and this is a particularly challenging time as she had just recovered, it seems like, from foot problems. Sending our love to our Director of Religious Education, Jen Blosser, whose family in England is struggling as her grandparents are ailing and feel so far away. And our brightest of blessings to Angela Melton as she leaves for a road trip and perhaps a spirit journey, and invite our blessings upon her for safe travels and for awakening new dreams and new pathways to share when next we come back together. And for all that rests in your heart and in your minds, I now invite you into the spirit of prayer or meditation. Spirit of life and love, dear Lord or Lady of reality, may we come together to confront the mysteries of life here together, the challenges that run deep within us, that cycle in and through us again and again. And when each challenge comes, may we be bolstered and encouraged with the gift of learning, that we may have new tools with which we may address these challenges. Coming back again to our most sacred intentions of how to be a good person in this world. And at a time in this election season when human hubris seems infinitely expanded, let us humble ourselves before the great task of engaging in the democratic process. And at times when it may feel hopeless or not worth it, may we roll to the polls. Make ourselves heard. And And may we continue to live not just for ourselves, but for our generations that come after. And we must do so by awakening to the reality of life here on earth now. That in 50 years, we might not grieve the death of the African lion. The elephant, that we might not grieve the death and the mass extinction of so many species on this planet, which will happen if things do not change. Let us take the time to open our hearts and minds to the grief now of all our relations, and to wake up to our interconnectedness with all that is, and ask ourselves, is what we are doing life-giving? So, Spirit of Wisdom, be with us not just in these moments of prayer and meditation, but in all our days and all our moments. Be active in our minds and hearts that we may center again around this awakening to accept the reality in which we are in and to change the story and awaken a new dream. Blessed be. Amen. No matter what humbling realities or sobering facts you face, this is a circle of love and hope in which you may draw yourself in. And during the music meditation, you are invited to come forward or to the sides to offer a stone of intention. It could be for some overwhelming grief, which you have, for yourself, a loved one, or for our Earth community. It could be an offering in which you recommit to a sacred intention that enlivens your highest aspirations. It could be for a joy or a milestone in your life. Whatever it is, I invite you to offer this stone. And it is my prayer that when you offer that stone, it will bring you peace. Thank you.
May our prayers be heard and our hearts be restored.
Please remain seated as we join together in singing number 398, To See the World, with words by William Blake and music by Edvard Grieg. It's a little bit lesser known. We're going to sing it through three times, and it's very simple once you learn it. I'll sing it through the first time. The choir will sing it on the second time, and please join us on the third.
To rise in body or spirit as we join in the responsive reading, number 550, also projected above. You will speak the words in italics with Elise. This we know, the earth does not belong to us, we belong to the earth.
This we know, all things are connected like blood.
All things are connected.
Whatever befalls the earth befalls the sons and daughters of the earth.
We did not weave the web of life. We are merely a strand in it.
Whatever we do to the web, we do to ourselves.
Please be seated.
Thank you.
So this week, for me, my daughter got pink eye and had a cold, and it was just sort of like a messy week. And for those of you, when I came into the office on Thursday, I apologize, that was really stupid, and so maybe you're not even here because you got sick too. But one of the things I began wondering was I started thinking about all of the different kids who lately, their parents aren't even letting their children swim in our Gulf waters. And that there are articles and, you know, scientific data that are telling us now that in some of our waters, particularly around times where there are more algal blooms, that our children and adults and elderly, everyone is more likely to get sick. And so it's humbling to me when I think about something so big as water, which I'm sure we'll be talking more about when we have our water communion in September, of how to continue to cherish the living waters that provide us. But part of what I'm thinking of is this whole month of thinking about the theme of humility, I have been humbled. Like, I want to fully prostrate myself by all the ways in which I myself as a person am inadequate, but also for us to think about not our inadequacies, but simply the ways in which we have opportunities for growth. And so human beings have plenty of opportunities for growth. We are in a constant state of a lifelong learning as we confront the mysteries of life and even the ways in which we are fallible. What's also important to mention is when I first came to this congregation, I came here in 2008, and there was this week that I got to spend with the congregation. I preach a Sunday, spend a whole week of going to like 8 million potlucks. There was a lot of potlucks, which I love. I love potlucks. You gotta love potlucks. You gotta love to eat. And then another Sunday, closing it. And I remember that on that last Sunday, I shared a sermon in which I invited us to reimagine the world. Because what I had heard from the congregation in 2008, the dreams I heard were about addressing issues of inequities in our community here in Lee County. I heard pain and suffering and agony over the racial divides in Lee County. I heard sadness and grief over how, over time, in this area in Southwest Florida, the land had been treated so poorly and never had a voice at the table with the developers and the politicians who made the decisions. And I also, at the same time that I heard grief and lament and feelings of inadequacy, I saw so many places of hope. Here was a church that had people who provided a space to help found Planned Parenthood of Southwest Florida. Here was a space that created social justice accompanying for the Coalition of Immokalee Workers that was part of an organization called the Grace Project that works with providing education opportunities in Guatemala and here with particularly affected Mayan women communities, creating lots of spaces for empowerment and creativity and therapeutic settings, fertility awareness, just all kinds of beautiful things happening in this congregation. I heard stories about 80-year-olds out in the back hauling out Brazilian pepper in the 90s. Oh, that Brazilian pepper. Any of you guys know about Brazilian pepper? Ugh, get it out of here. They were taking out all the invasives, planting cypress, pines, underbrush to provide a place for backyard wildlife habitat on Daniels Parkway corridor that was getting so developed, and it's still happening right across the street, right? Mm-hmm. And so these are themes that I want to remind you that a lot of the times I'm up here and it seems like it's that hellfire, it feels like hellfire and damnation of talking about humility and saying, we're not enough. And yet the proper way to think of it is that we have enough. And it's about living in the tension that, as so many wonderful philosophers and theologians and scientists have told us, that we are made of stardust. That as Carl Sagan tells us, that we are the universe made conscious of itself. And so, yes, did we come from humble beginnings? No. Yes, we came from the humus. We came from the earth, just like in the book of Genesis says that we are these earthlings. We're made of dirt. From dust we come, and to dust we shall return. But that's not such a bad thing. That's, in fact, something that's glorious and wondrous. And at the same time, if we're the universe made conscious of itself, we have the invitation to come into reality of where we're at now. In the past 40 years, we've lost 30% of our arable land. That 90% of the big fish in the ocean are gone. That we have 400 dead zones in our earth waters and the oceans. And that we're seeing in 50 years mass extinctions of species. So that the Catholic theologian and also one who integrates science with his theology, Brian Swimmy, says, we've come into a place where we're not allowing our hearts to open to the grief of what's really going on around us. And that the opportunity is to come more deeply into reality. Michael Dowd, he is an itinerant preacher. He and his wife travel together, Connie Barlow. She comes from a science humanist tradition. He was an evangelical Pentecostal who was all about the creation story until his mind got blown when he learned about the story of the universe, of the evolution of the cosmos. And then he met Connie, and now they've been traveling itinerantly ever since. It's been decades now that they've been on the road sharing the great story. In his most recent teachings, he's been talking about how we're now in a phase in religion that's all about the evidential reformation. It's not about how people are interpreting things. It's about scientific evidence. And that there's nothing wrong with that, that there's something beautiful about what science can teach us and tell us. And I remember, and I've told you this story before, perhaps, for some of you, Michael Dowd came, and he and Connie came. She spent time with the children in classes, teaching them about how their stardust and teaching parables about the cosmos. And at the same time, Michael stayed with us, and he told us about his journey, and he had cancer, and how that allowed him to come more deeply into his relationship with God. And in our conversation, and after I think they stayed at our house at one point, and I remember him saying, you know, reality is my God. And for him, the definition of God is reality with a personality. So think about it. I don't care if you're a theist or an atheist, and frankly, I think the conversations are a waste of our time when you hear all of what's going on around us. But what he says is that we have the opportunity of being in right relationship with God, with reality. Now think about that. If you have a deep relationship with God, if you include a personal relationship with God in your life, it's an opportunity to come back into relationship with what's really going on around you. So the religion that we teach here in this congregation is a religion that tells you to come right back into the reality of what's going on around and then make a decision about understanding where we come from, where are you going? So if God is a reality with a personality, we have the opportunity to center ourselves again around reality. And frankly, the reality right now is worthy of our attentions. According to the Earth Policy Institute, we are overspent here. We, as North Americans, if you identify that way or you're living here in North America, we presently need 4 Earths to sustain the lifestyle that we live. That we're at a kind of tipping point. I have a quote that I really enjoyed here. We're living off our ecological credit card, says Susan Burst, she's from the CEO Global Footprint. So that there are these irreversible tipping points, and we're at a place of global overshoot. So African lions are on the verge of extinction. They're down 90% from the past 30 years. Half of all the species may be extinct in 50 years. It's beyond most of us to handle this kind of reality, but I have to bring it here. It's worthy of our lifting up. For that is what worship is. It is naming what is most of worth and lifting it up for our attentions and naming it as sacred. Preach it. So Unitarian Universalism has this principle that says we are part and inextricably linked to the interdependent
web of all existence.
That's right. And so part of that invitation is awakening to this web of existence, awakening to the reality of our interconnectedness. And what does that really mean? Because for me, it's overwhelming. Sometimes, honey, this week, honey, I call y'all honey. Honey, honeys. This week, got a sick kid. I mean, it's like I'm in a trance. But then I realized, you know what? Most of the time, it feels like I'm in a kind of a trance. You know, when you get in the grind? And maybe, I don't know, for those of you who are retired, if you have a grind, too, that doesn't involve work. But I have a feeling you do. You have a routine. You know, things you do, it just, you know, it kind of just, it happens. You do this, then you do that. And then part of this, of awakening to reality, it reminds me of, I don't know if you've been here, and some of our congregants are a little excited about this study they've been doing with a group called the Pachamama Alliance. Any of you been hearing about the Pachamama Alliance? Well, let me tell you, it's an organization that's over 20 years old, and you're going to hear more about it in October. But it's a very beautiful organization because it is an organization that has originally been in partnership with indigenous peoples in the Amazonian areas that encompass different areas of Ecuador and another country. And what happened was this particular tribe who have preserved their culture so powerfully, which is very difficult to do in this day and age. How they operate is every morning they wake up and they share their dreams with one another. Not just, you know, oh, I dream of a better world, but literally what their dreams were. And there was a sense of sharing their dreams with one another, and one of the powerful dreams and the powerful collective dreams of their group was an understanding that as they saw and felt the earth around them being harmed, they had to reach out. And so they found some folks to reach out with and to partner with, and suddenly the Pachamama Alliance began. And you'll hear more about it. But I became excited about this idea of continuing to listen to the people who are most connected to the earth, and also the people who are most vulnerable in terms of what's going on ecologically, and the people who are at the forefront of understanding crisis. So we have this conflict about these wonderful, like, human beings. Here we are, we're made of stardust, we're the universe made conscious of itself. And in order to serve the gross national product, have done some pretty horrible things without realizing the cost. And so you have politics, big money involved in creating situations where the storm that happened and surged in Katrina, it wasn't just a natural disaster. There were some parts of that because of the channel that was created along the Mississippi River. It was a funnel right into New Orleans. And then there were those who are the most economically disadvantaged who were at the forefront of receiving the brunt of that. So that pattern, fast forward 50 years, that pattern, it just is going to keep repeating itself. And so who are the ones who are going to continue to listen to those who are at the forefront and those who are most likely to be most powerfully affected when climate crisis happens? I mean, we already know things are happening. But in 50 years, we're reaching an irreversible point. And that means that all the nations on this planet have to make commitments by 50 years. And I'm at a place right now where I'm feeling a little jaded. I don't know what you think. If we can do that in 50 years, that's wonderful. But what if we can't? So, what's the good news here? So the reality is, human beings, not always so great. Human beings, can be really great. Human beings we can wake up out of the trance of the lives that we're leading here in a place where we are overspent, where we're in a culture right now in our nation where the gross national product is through the roof, and yet at the same time our natural wealth is so little because we have used up all the resources. And so there's a balancing act of coming into reality and holding into tension the good, the bad, and the ugly. And there are projects like the Pachamama Alliance that are doing consciousness raising and understanding that we're in a place right now. When I talk to all of you, it reminds me of 2008 when I came here and I said yes to this church. Intersectionality. So much is intersecting. I received a reflection from a member about how it's about us connecting the dots. Racial justice, economic justice, earth ministry, it's all connected. It all moves together if we're willing to be a part of that movement. And that is a way in which we can lead spiritually fulfilling lives in which we are awake to reality, is to join together. And so part of the initiative is there are congregations, Unitarian Universalists, who've joined part of a project in which they're partnering in communities and they're finding ways to get funding for creating crisis management toolkits who are going to help those people who are going to be the most affected when we have issues with climate change. Whether it's, you know, for us now, it's algal blooms, it's the changing shorelines, it's erosion. I mean, you could list all the issues that we're experiencing right now here in Southwest Florida. And the people who are most deeply affected by that, this project actually goes in and develops partnering skills, empowerment work, deep, deep listening to find solutions that are practical, that are reality-based, that are awake to the realities of our ecological crisis. And I say this to you in a church because it is a theological crisis. Is God something that's far away and outside? Or is God a reality that is accompanying us? Is the most sacred and holy thing something in which the spirit of love is conspiring on our behalf as human beings to accompany us and bear witness to us as we fulfill our great calling to be the dust, to be the dirt, to be the earth, to be connected. My greatest prayer, and I know amongst you, from my listening, it is yours, is that we move from hubris to humus.
Please rise in body or spirit as we join together in singing number 77, Seek Not Afar for Beauty. This one is a little bit lesser known as well, so I'm going to play it through once on the piano, then the choir will sing the first verse, and please join us after that.
Thank you.
sorry. We are a generous and giving church. For those of you who are unaware, each month we donate all undesignated, we donate all undesignated offerings to an organization of our choice. This month, our community sharing is with the Alliance for Fair Food. The Alliance for Fair Food is a national network of people working in partnership with the Coalition of Immokalee Workers for Farm Worker Justice. The Alliance's campaign for fair food has won binding agreements with 14 multi-billion dollar food retailers to date, including Taco Bell, McDonald's, and Walmart. However, Publix and Wendy's have not yet come to the table. Thousands of farm workers are seeing never-before-seen rights in the fields, such as shade, water, the right to file a complaint without fear of retaliation, the right to work free of sexual harassment and modern slavery, and the first real wage increase in 30 years. Today, the campaign sees an unprecedented growth through the Food Chains film, the Fair Food Program label, and the on-the-ground organization of the CIW's Ally Network, made up of three organizations: Interfaith Action, Student and Farm Worker Alliance, and Just Harvest USA, are coming together under the umbrella of the Alliance for Fair Food. Drawing from our collective strengths and successes, our mission remains to stand with farm workers as they continue their struggle for justice and dignity. During the offering, if you wish to donate directly to the church, you can either address a check to UUCFM or put your donation in a manila envelope that you will find in the pew in front of you. Also, if you've filled out a Caring Network card, a connection card, or a children's religious education card, please drop those in the offertory as it comes around. The morning offering will now be given and gratefully received.
Tell you something about my life. Maybe give me insight between black and white. The best thing you've ever done for me is to help me take my life less seriously. It's only life after all. The darkness has a hunger that's insatiable. Lightness has a call that's hard to hear. Wrap my fear around me like a blanket. I sail my ship of safety till I sink it. I'm crawling on your shore. And I went to the doctor, I went to the mountain. I looked to the children, I drank from the fountain. Pointing me in a crooked line. guiding me in a crooked line. Unless I seek my source from some divinity, the closer I am to find, the closer I am to find. I stop by the bar at 3 a.m. to seek solace in a bottle, possibly a friend. And I woke with a headache like my head against a wall, twice as cloudy as I'd been the night before. And I went in seeking Clarence Key.
I went to the doctor, I went to the mountains, I looked to the children, I drank from the fountain. We go to the doctor, we go to the mountain, children, we drink from the fountain, we go to the Bible, we go through the workout, we read up on revival, we stand up for the lookout. There's more than one answer to these questions, pointing me in a crooked line. And the less I seek my source from some definitive, the closer I am to find.
Now let us join in receiving your generous contributions as you rise in body or spirit and speak the words above. By the work of our hands and the work of our hearts, our love is made real. May we be grateful for all that is given and grateful for all that is shared. And now we will join in singing Carry the Flame as we extinguish the chalice this Sunday.
Augustine of Hippo says, "Do you wish to rise? Begin by descending. You plan to build a tower that will pierce the clouds? Lay first the foundation of humility."
One, two. One, two, three, four.
We go to the doctor, we go to the mountains, we look to the children, we drink from the fountain, we go to the Bible, we go through the workout, we read up on revival, we stand up for the lookout. There's more than one answer to these questions, pointing me in a crooked line. Unless I see my source from some definitive, closer I am to find, the closer I am to find, the closer I am to find.
And greet your neighbor.
Because I'm short and I'm always wanting to do it.
Something's in the mic is in my way, or my glass, like I'm looking because I'm trying to sing into the mic, and then the frame of my glass is in the way.
Thank you very much. gosh, wonderful. Oh my God, the music was so good today. Thank you.
Thank you.
And then when it's cold, I've looked up like where are the best places to camp in winter. And so there are certain areas in California, Arkansas, Arizona, and Texas that kind of maintain like 60-ish for their highs.
Sunday.
I'm really excited. I don't know why, because I've never been there, but I am so attracted to Utah.
Would it be a problem if I still came to the band rehearsal?
I don't know why.
Am I going to get in the
band? We're going to find out.
I just would like to play for the sake of playing. I arrange it however you need.
Thank you, Diane.
Okay.
But if I'm going to be underfoot with the arrangements, then I understand.
Oh, I see. For band rehearsal.
Yeah.
It'll depend on who else is there.
Yeah, that's really my. I'd love to come out just to play for the sake of playing, but I'm really.